Our sermon for April 20th, 2025, Easter Sunday, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. And the theme of our sermon is victory over death. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But once this perishable body has put on imperishability, and this mortal body has put on immortality, then what is written will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Do you ever notice how obituaries have a certain tone and formula to them? For many, they begin by saying that after so many years of life, this person lost their long-fought battle against that disease. And when I read those words, I'm reminded that death is undefeated. And death is the stark reminder that sin has so affected everything in our lives. But today, we see the death of death. Today, we witness death undone. All four gospel writers tell us the events of Easter morning. And Luke's gospel that we have in front of us this morning gives us only a sliver of the full story. But at first glance, the four accounts seem contradictory and confusing. But we know, because this is God's word, that all these things did happen. But in what order? Answers in Genesis, a Christian group focused on defending the historicity of the Bible, came up with an explanation that works all these accounts together to make sense of the seeming contradictions. Now, the events may not have happened in this exact order, but this is at least one of the possibilities of how all of these things fit together. The women wake up Sunday morning and head off to the tomb. They're going to finish the burial preparations for Jesus' body that they had had to pause at sundown on Friday night because of the Sabbath. At some point during that trek, God sends an earthquake and an angel to move the heavy stone from the entrance to the tomb and knock out the Roman soldiers guarding it. As the women arrive, the stone has been rolled away. Mary Magdalene, she's distraught by the news. The tomb should have been sealed. What had happened to her, to the Lord's body? Off she runs to find Peter and John and tell them that they have a problem. The tomb is empty. It's at that point where it seems that there's two independent timelines going on this Easter morning. The other women must not be as panicked as Mary Magdalene. They don't run away, they enter the tomb, and there they see two angels. And they're told, "He is not here, but has been raised." Then the angels send them to the disciples to report what's happened. Back to the city they go to tell the disciples this report from God's angels. But on the way, Jesus appears to these worried and excited women. He greets them. They are able to touch him, and then he encourages them to continue on their way to the disciples. But Mary Magdalene seems to be separated from that group. Quite possibly when she leaves, she goes to find Peter and John. It appears they are not with the other disciples. These two men, they hear the news from Mary and they rush to the tomb to find it empty, just as Mary Magdalene had told them. John sees burial cloths left behind and folded up. And he believes that this is not some grave robbery. Jesus must be alive. Mary Magdalene, she must have returned with Peter and John to the tomb. Because they leave, but she's still there. The angels appear to her, asking her why she's weeping. She tells them that Jesus' body has been moved, but she doesn't know where to. She turns around, and there is a gardener standing there, and he asks her why she's weeping and who she's looking for, and she tells him. But then he calls her name, and she recognizes him. She too is sent to tell the other disciples what she's seen, Jesus in the flesh and alive. There are a lot of moving pieces on Easter morning, but regardless of how the different puzzle pieces fit together, God shows multiple people in multiple ways the truth that Jesus is alive. The account of Easter, with all its complications, is a simple account. Death to life. Mourning to rejoicing. Back to the obituaries, though. The obituaries, throughout time, all read the same. Even in Genesis 5, we get the genealogy of Adam to Noah, and their obituaries sound like echoes of each other. He lived for so many years, had so many kids, and then he died. Again and again, and then he died. And the obituary for Jesus mimics the rest. Then he died. But that morning, the writing of one obituary broke from the rest. He is not here, but has been raised. Oh, what unbelievably good news. In fact, it was so unbelievably good that we see a boatload of doubt. The dead do not rise. They stay dead for thousands of years. The grave has been the end of every story. But Christ did rise, just as he said he would. He sacrificed his life on the cross for the sins of the world, and then he powerfully took it back up again on this glorious Easter day. Death could not hold Jesus in. Its dominion over his life was overthrown. And Jesus' resurrection is not just some half-rising. It's not like an always-in-our-hearts-and-memory sort of existence. Jesus physically rose, body and soul. The tomb is opened and empty because this event happened. In the brutal pain of mourning over death, we often say things that find no basis in Scripture. Our aunt who died is an angel now. Our dad is looking down on us from heaven. We say them not because God tells us they're true, but because we want them to be true. But this is truth. Christ rose. He is not in the tomb rotting away. He is alive. Don't hold to fantasies. Don't hold to hopes based only on your wishes. Hold to God's pronouncement, because it comes with a promise that is so profound. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? This is the question the angel asks the women. And it seems like such an obvious question. Because we watched him die 3 days ago, we want to say. Because we saw the gashes in his side and walked with the body as they took it to the tomb. But what a wonderful question, too. If he is alive, then they're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. And if he is not found in this place, then he must be alive. And after the angel tells the women that Jesus told them this would happen, they begin to remember those conversations and understand what Jesus was talking about. The death beater is alive. The Lord lives. One obituary changed. Then he died. Then he rose from the dead. But how about the rest? You've probably been to many funerals. You've stood in front of the casket and held the hand of your loved one whose life was lost. And unless the coroner really messed up, you've never seen any of those people come back to life. Sure, Christ is risen, and we rejoice that our Lord has defeated death himself. but we don't experience an Easter moment for Grandma. At least we don't yet. But listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He speaks of change. "Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality." God's promise is that your Easter will come. All will be changed at this trumpet call of God. These perishable bodies, which we see are wearing away with every year of life, will be raised imperishable. No more limps or pains or self-loathing when you look in the mirror and don't like what you see. And that mortal body, which lives under constant fear of death each and every day, will be made immortal. No more funerals or accidents or anxieties that you are running out of time. This is the promise God makes. But how can this be? Certainly, imperishability and immortality are for those who keep God's commands perfectly. Jesus says, "Do this and you will live," or phrases like it, many times in his ministry. Eternal life and resurrection with it is meant for the perfect. But unfortunately, you and I are not perfect. Far from it. And your husband or wife who passed away wasn't perfect either. Sinners. Every one of us. And we can go back to Genesis 5 to see the outcome for sinners. They live for so many years, maybe have some kids, then they die. Death stings. It stings for all of us. Not just the process of dying, but watching it happen to our loved ones. Death stings. Even worse, because we know that it's our sins that bring it upon ourselves. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But what removes the sting of death? Why can Paul so confidently say that we will be changed and will be immortalized, even when we don't see it happening right now? Listen to the last verse. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We know that at the empty tomb, Jesus broke death. But his victory over death was not just for himself. It was for us. Those people whose sins took him to the cross, on which he buried those sins. Because of Jesus, God no longer sees your sins. They're in the ground, and they are going to stay in the ground. But in Christ, you will not. You have victory over the grave through Jesus. You will not taste the sting of death, nor the permanence of the grave. Since Jesus rose, you will rise too. Because of that one obituary change, all obituaries change. Like Jesus, our obituaries in eternity will not say, "Then he died." They'll say, "Then he died, then he rose from death." And because Christ won the war against sin and death, those words lost the battle. Against cancer, or MS, or heart disease, or anything else, will be scratched off the page. Because death is not loss. Instead, it is the greatest gain. Perfect. Imperishable. Immortal. You will be changed and remade. Perfect like your Savior Jesus. This is your destiny that Christ died and rose for. Trust it. Easter is the greatest funeral service. And every funeral service of a Christian is just another Easter. While the sadness of separation and loss fills our hearts at the death of a loved one, A greater emotion buoys our spirits. We have joy in knowing that one day the casket in front of us will be empty and the urn unfilled. Our graves, our own graves, will lie open and unmanned. Resurrection and immortality call all of us. Your God was dead, but is alive again. And because he lives, so will you. Amen.